Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I speak will convey your word to our church today and bring you glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week I was looking over some of the past Easter sermons that I had done. I've got a file of about 20 to 30 if you count up sermons and sunrise sermons. Sometimes pastors have a difficult time preaching on Easter Sunday. And I'm not sure why that is. I was talking to one of my friends who's a pastor, and he preaches every week. He and I have been friends since seminary for over 20 years. And this year, he was having trouble. He was like, what do I do this week? Well, talk of resurrection, right? But what do I say? As my friend Will Allen has said, this is a pastor Super Bowl, Easter Sunday. And maybe that's it. Maybe the pressure gets to us. I've been advised by very wise advisors, just tell the story. And those who have told me that are not wrong. I remember when I was in college, senior, and there's a group of us on my small college where I went that we knew we were going to be pastors. So our senior year, we took a trip through Georgia and North Carolina and Virginia visiting seminaries and divinity schools because we were preparing for the next step after college, and we got to sit in an actual seminary class and hear an actual seminary professor give a real lecture to actual seminary students. I know I'm geeking out, but for us, it was so cool. And it was in the springtime. She said, if you're preaching on Easter Sunday, this is what the professor said. You ready for this? She said, if you're preaching on Easter Sunday, talk about Jesus' resurrection. Don't get cute. Don't get creative. Talk about the empty tomb. Very profound. Resurrection should actually be in the background of every sermon that a Christian preacher preaches. Even on Ash Wednesday, when the mood is repentance and we're stepping into a season where we're anticipating the cross, resurrection is in the background. Easter is in the background even then. Even on Maundy Thursday, when we know that a part of the story is Jesus being betrayed. And when he talks about bread and wine, he's talking about his broken body and his shed blood. Even then, resurrection, Easter, is in the background. It's coloring what we say, shaping the message, even on Good Friday. Even on really the darkest day of the year, when we realize our sin put our Savior on the cross. And we don't want to rush through that and just jump to resurrection, but as the old mantra goes, it's Friday, but we know Sunday's coming. And then Easter Sunday gets here, and resurrection is the story. Jesus is alive. We are Easter people. In 2009... National Geographic released a book entitled The Letter and the Scroll, What Archaeology Tells Us About the Bible. Now, this is an excerpt from that volume that addresses Jesus' tomb. It says, several sites in present-day Jerusalem have been suggested for the tomb of Jesus. For believers, the power of the gospel message lies not in the location of the tomb, but in the words the women heard the first Easter Sunday morning, he is risen, he's not here. How ironic. I mean, I've read a lot of commentaries that are written by Bible scholars. These Bible scholars themselves were pastors or may still be pastors. These commentaries are written to help pastors like me get ready for Sundays like this one. And a lot of times in these commentaries, when it talks about Easter and resurrection, it says, good luck, pastor, this is really hard. Thanks for the help. But then a secular production like National Geographic, with no reason to promote Jesus, no motivation to promote the gospel, gets it. We don't need to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem to see the tomb. The tomb is empty. He's risen from death. Jesus is alive. This is our story. handed down from the very first disciples. In following Luke's lead, we realize that it was in fact the disciples who were the first ones to know of the resurrection, and their initial reaction to the greatest news in history was to share it. Disciples were the first ones to know. Not the 12, not Matthew or Thomas, not the brother James and John, not the other brothers, Peter and Andrew, or the other disciples, but a different set of disciples. As we mentioned in looking at Luke last week, by the time we get to this point in the story, there was a community around Jesus. There were 70 or more, probably much more, a group of people that were following Jesus, that heard him talk about Messiah and Son of God and Kingdom of God and believe in me, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this group around him were starting to put the pieces together. And many of these followers were women, women Luke mentions by name. And these were the ones who made their way to the tomb on that morning. There was Joanna, a woman of affluence. Her husband, Chuzo, was King Herod's household manager. Some background. When Pilate, the Roman governor, examined Jesus and questioned him, one of the things he did was to send Jesus off across town in Jerusalem to see the king, King Herod. Now, Herod didn't have any real power. The Romans had the power in Jerusalem. But Herod, well, he was known for his excesses, his decadence, gorging on food, sex, and thrills. Thrills. He wanted to meet Jesus because he heard about all the spectacular things. He wanted Jesus to do a miracle right there in his household. Jesus wasn't there to perform for Herod. Jesus didn't give Herod anything. So frustrated, Herod sent him back to Pilate and the merciless judgment that Pilate would render. In the entire story, no one seems further from the truth that Jesus was sharing than self-indulgent Herod. And yet, right in Herod's own household was a man married to a woman, Joanna, who was one of Jesus' most faithful disciples. She's with that group that went to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. With her was Mary Magdalene. I think they just released a movie by this title, and I don't know anything about it. But Luke writes that Mary, had been possessed not by a demon, but by seven demons. And Jesus got those evil spirits out of her. Mark 16:9 also tells that story. Extra-biblical sources have tried to amplify the relationship Mary Magdalene had with Jesus. The Bible simply says she was one of his closest disciples. John's Gospel reports on her encounter with the risen Lord. He received her worship, but told her not to hold on to him, but rather to go to the 11, the male disciples, tell them what happened, and that the resurrected Jesus would be ascending to the Father. Some of the other women and their relationships and exact identities are harder to piece together. There's another woman called Mary, the wife of Cleophas. She's mentioned in John 19:25. We also know from John that Jesus' mother, Mary, was at the cross. Luke speaks of Susanna and yet another Mary, the mother of James the younger and Joseph. This Mary is also mentioned in Mark. Some Bible interpreters think she might have been Jesus' aunt. There's a woman named Salome who is identified in the Catholic Encyclopedia as the mother of two of Jesus' disciples, James and John. There were many women disciples. Very little has been said about them. Many were not named. But Luke points out that they were the ones who financially supported Jesus and the 12 during their itinerant ministry, buying them food, making sure they had places to stay. They were crucial to Jesus' mission. On Sunday morning, these women believed that Jesus was dead. They were going to a tomb at first light to anoint a corpse. The angel they met at the tomb told them that Jesus had been raised. They ran back to the male disciples to tell them what they found out. The men thought this was a foolish tale reported by wishful thinking women. Is our claim that Jesus, the very center of our faith, everything we stand upon, our life in Christ, is our claim that Jesus rose from death, just that, wishful thinking. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. So God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. Disillusioned, the male disciples couldn't believe it when the female disciples rushed in and disturbed their solemn, defeated brooding. But though they didn't believe it, Luke tells us that Peter ran to the tomb to verify for himself. In spite of his tears and disbelief, he still checked out the story, and we know what he found: an empty tomb. Peter was amazed. The word got out. The resurrected Christ himself appeared again and again over 40 days to over 500 of his followers, and the church was born. Today, millions in every country on earth believe the truth. Jesus rose from the grave. However, many millions more do not believe the story. They don't believe the story because they haven't heard it before. No one has shared it with them. Or they don't believe the story because they are so locked into a naturalistic worldview they have to reject on the front end that someone would rise from the grave. It doesn't matter what witnesses say, that just doesn't happen. Or they don't believe it because they want to believe in miracles and they've heard the story, but it's been preached to them by oppressive, heavy-handed, judgmental preachers in churches that are full of judgment and pour guilt out on people, not love. For numerous reasons, people don't understand the reality of the resurrection and the significance of the resurrection. Do we? Jesus is alive. He's been raised from death, ascended to be at the right hand of the Father until the final judgment. He is present among us in the Holy Spirit. Do we believe? In the past, right here in this room at Hillsong Church, we have had those female disciples present. I don't mean Susanna, Joanna, Salome, the collection of Marys, and the rest. I mean, in 2007, on Easter Sunday, we baptized four women. In 2010, we baptized a young girl on Easter Sunday. And this year, 2019, we baptized two girls on Palm Sunday. By going to the waters of baptism, these girls and women repeated the testimony of those women who went to Jesus' tomb on the first Easter. In going under the water, they testified what's true of all of us, that we die in our sin. But coming up out of the water, they know that Jesus rose, and in Him, they and we have resurrection, life eternal. From the testimony of the biblical women we read about, we hear that Jesus is alive. Do we believe? From the testimony of baptized women and girls here at Hillsong, we hear the story of new life, eternal life that is had when one believes in Jesus, trusts in Jesus, serves in Jesus' name, and follows Jesus' lead in life. From the testimony shared by our sisters here, do we believe? Rejoice in the resurrection. When you put your faith in Jesus, resurrection is not just His story that's locked in one Sunday of the year, Easter Sunday. It's your story. The angels sing songs of joy and laugh until they cry because they're so happy you have trusted in Jesus. From Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Death is the enemy who's been silenced. Easter is our testimony. Those women met two angels, learned of the resurrection, and went and told all that they heard. Easter becomes Easter when you and I go and do the same. We add our testimony to the story. Jesus is alive. We say it when we live with a cheerful disposition, even on bad days, when we exude joy, even in dark times, Jesus is alive. We say it when we love people around us, even people who are difficult, even people who are mean. We meet evil with good. We share hatred. We share love with those who are full of hatred. Jesus is alive. We confirm it when we forgive without condition and we welcome people into our lives, even people we're not sure about. We welcome them because He welcomes them. Jesus is alive. We know it's true when we surrender to the Spirit of resurrection and the Holy Spirit takes hold of us. This is a day of rejoicing and a day of telling. We say it with our attitude, with our words. So, join the women of the first Easter. Go from here and tell all. Join the company of the baptized. Say it loudly. Say it with unbridled joy. Jesus is alive. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, and Starlin's told me we're going to sing more than we normally do. So, everyone stand up and get your voices ready to raise your hearts to heaven, singing praise to God.